Pickaxe.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week, maybe super, super mega chill tower defense.
Say cardigan.
Cards.
He's spreading his seed.
I spread my seed.
Welcome to Pitch Please. My name's Alex. I'm joined by developer Chris from Froggy Box.
Hello.
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Hello.
That's something overloading. Thomas, the ideas engine. Chugga, 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 chugga. Hog,
hog. I love it when my energy make that noise.
Arriving at the station, Ideas Central. It's you.
I'm a flock of geese.
I'm the train. And you're in me.
Yeah.
You better start believing in great ideas. You're listening to one.
Jumping the barrier of game ideas.
Have you seen that horror game that's been in development, Choo Choo Charles, where you have to run away from a spider train?
Thomas the Tank Engine.
I have that, but with Tom's face on the front in my head.
Yeah. Thomas, yeah, that makes sense.
But every now and then he's screaming deck building ideas at you.
Is Thomas the Tank Engine now out of like licensing or whatever it is? Because they're doing that with Winnie the Pooh as well, right?
Yeah,
no, Winnie the Pooh is out of license.
Free game.
I think putting a face on a train isn't licensed by Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh no, I think if we did that, we'd get sued hard. We could try it out.
If we did it with your face, because you're called Tom, so it wouldn't really.
Yeah, but I haven't like copyrighted my own name.
No, but if you called it Tom
the Tank
Engine.
Has anyone ever done that? Has anyone ever copyrighted their name?
I'm sure they've tried.
Someone's.
You can't be called Frank.
No, it was Bethesda tried to copyright the word Scrolls.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
They tried to copyright Todd.
They tried to copyright Bethany Esther.
All right. Look, if you've not listened to us before, the way this works is an idea for a game, a pitch, if you will be discussed.
Please.
And then we're going to spend the rest of the episode talking about it, throwing our own ideas in there, probably making it worse, trying to figure out how it can become a game or inevitably not become a game and never get made because Tom and I have no skill and Chris
we
and James
no
are
skill.
Too busy with their own things.
And they have no passion.
Or inevitably whack some cards in it.
Together, we are useless.
We are garbage.
We're like a shit transformer.
Yeah. Hang on. So, we've had that Voltron joke before, I'm sure, except it was Chris and he wasn't able to get the legs together or something like that.
You know me, Tom.
Legless Voltron. That's what we call him.
All right. Tom, what ideas have we got this week? What's going on? Is it you or is it me? Is it someone else?
Is it me? Alex, this is Pitch Please in 2020, almost three, baby.
Oh, Tom, it's never us ever again.
Tom, sorry, can you not hear that? I think your phone is ringing.
No, hang on. I have it on silent. Don't know how you can hear it.
Oh, it's that old, I mean, do you remember those old speakers used to go? I can definitely hear that.
Yeah, okay. Well,
who's on the phone, Tom?
You're right.
Let me do a segue. We did not discuss or plan.
No, can you tell? Because I really no-butted you in that bit there. Hello. Oh, hello, Jethro.
Tom, this is an audio podcast. You don't need to put your phone to your actual ear.
Acting. It's how we get. It's method acting. He's got to
it's
have
method
the phone.
Acting. Okay. Yeah. Hello, Jethro from Finland. Well, weird way to start the call. You have a pitch for us? Please, let me just put you on speakerphone so everyone can hear you. Are you ready?
Yes, please.
Go!
Hello, Pitch Please Podcast. My name is Jethro, but you can call me Jethro, unless you want to try and butcher the Finnish pronunciation. I am here to give you two pitches of two different game ideas. First game is more of a VR experience, but the second one is a shooter game with a twist. Now let me guide you deep into my head amidst the brain wrinkles and introduce you to the VR experience I call growing up.
Oh.
What's that noise?
Imagine yourself in
in a pitch black space.
Oh, ambience.
Oh shit.
Jethro, how'd you do this?
Slowly, your eyes get used to the dark, and you start to notice you are inside an air pocket, surrounded by dirt. After a few seconds, the ceiling starts to crumble.
Oh my god.
I can't believe he's doing this live
rays
on the phone.
Rays of light fill up the space. And suddenly, everything shrinks around you and you burst through the ceiling, growing to the size of a human baby. At this point, you can see that you are a sapling with a tree trunk body, branches for arms, and leaves for hands.
Okay.
Looking around you, you see that you're in a forest, surrounded by bigger trees and vegetation. From the cracks of the foliage, the sun casts rays close to you within your reach. When you touch the light, you can see your leaves glowing, and you start to grow slowly. As time goes on, you continue growing while facing different hardships, from bugs and mammals trying to eat you, to needing to gather snow around your body to survive winter's cold, harsh weather. Your goal is to survive through the seasons and spread your seeds to reproduce when you have reached that stage. The game doesn't necessarily need a failure state, as I think it's better as an experience. And for the ending, you could have a lumberjack come and chop you down and start a new cycle from the ground up. This was my idea for the game growing up. And next, I want to share you my idea for the shooter game.
Jethro, hang on.
Put him on hold.
Hang on, sorry. Boop. Okay.
Cue up the next set of sound effects. Okay, that was amazing. Like,
I mean, come on, that's got to be the podcast. The best call in we've ever had of the two.
Set the bar.
Jeez.
I'm not sure if I actually listened to the pitch, to be honest, because I was in that world for a while there. It was immersive. It was brilliant. It was beautiful. Oh.
You can't think about
this,
the game
though,
when you are the character. They don't think
for
about
a while
it from that
there,
perspective.
I was a baby sapling.
Baby sapling spreading its seed.
Spreading my seed across the land.
So that, to me, sounds like this it's actually a great pitch, because it doesn't describe anything about the gameplay.
That's nice.
It just tells you, it just sets up the world for you. So it just you fill in the blanks. You just fill in the blanks with your head. But it's our job now to actually vocalize those blanks.
Yeah.
What are they?
Is there much
what
more
is the
that
game?
You could add? He said it was an experience.
Well,
he says
survive. Like, what is that? Presumably you start off as a sapling, you turn into a full ass tree after over like 100 years.
They're my favorite, especially when they're fruit bloom.
And in that time, you have to. So that was the gameplay directive, survive, right? What is
survive.
A survival game if you can't move?
Do you have to like swat away lumberjacks with your giant branches, or are you that mobile?
You are the Whomping Willow.
I guess you'd have to be, right?
I mean, I don't know how you're meant to interact with anything as a tree unless everything is like mega fast-forwarded.
You could easily... bend the branches. There is a game called Tentacular.
Oh, okay.
Published by Devolver Digital.
Yeah, okay.
Developed by Firepunt.
What is it?
It came out in July of this year, where you play as a kraken and you have huge tentacle arms and you latch onto things. And as you move around, obviously they have physics, so everything's bending and obviously stuff is heavy, it has inertia and physics happen.
Oh. So you're saying that, but you're a tree?
Well, I would say imagine movement like that, but it's branches, right? So maybe you can grab one of your other branches and then, you know, you pull it back, ping it, and it flicks things out of the way through the force of you pinging it back. But maybe there's little targets you could hit in the distance to stop people from Or maybe like there's acorns that grow on your branch, and as you pull it back and ping it, it fires them off, and it's like a little target practice game where you're
trying
to...
That's how you spread your seed.
Well, also that, but also that's how you defend yourself from like little
shake
critters
mechanic.
And stuff. And yeah, you can shake yourself
all
to
your leaves.
Get rid of
get all my
squirrels,
sunlight,
steal your nuts.
That's, you spread the seed with the shake mechanic. Yeah, okay, loud and clear.
Yeah.
When you were describing that, I was imagining a tree actually fully mobile, like dragging itself across
like
the British countryside. No, not like an ent, because the ents walk
just
literally just with
back.
Its with
it, a parrot?
It's like an uprooted tree just dragging itself along.
I thought you were going to bring up the game Prune, which was the Apple iPad Game of the Year 2015.
What is that?
My favorite year for Apple iPad games.
It's a very simplistic game where you literally just see the tree growing in a particular direction towards the light. And as you cut off certain branches, it then grows continuously on in another direction. So you kind of have to cut and prune the tree towards the target. And it's a very chill game. It's one of those ones, you know, with like really serene music and God, you feel so calm playing it. And then you realize that you're in the dark.
In your underwear.
In your underwear, sweating.
Crying.
Like the phone runs out of battery and you can
Ruining
see your reflection.
I guess we can.
And you are just miserable.
Did you just hear
Sorry,
that?
I think I
heard a phone.
Someone's actually getting a call through.
I genuinely haven't heard that noise in years.
I thought you were playing a sound effect.
I didn't think it happened anymore.
No.
Apart from earlier when it happened and
we got the call.
I heard
from
the call.
Jetro. Yeah.
Well, yeah, obviously.
This does remind me a little bit of, I can't remember what it was called. Do you remember the game that we talked about like 2 years ago now, or maybe last year?
Oh,
maybe 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The mushrooms
last week,
like,
let alone 2 years ago.
Like the, it was
oh,
like
the
a,
little,
it was the mushroom one in the
myceliads.
Yeah, myceliads. Yeah,
myceliads.
Myceliads.
That should have been the name.
No, I do not.
It was like a but you have control of like the mycelial network basically. Which then so you're not directly controlling trees or plant life or like flora or fauna or anything.
Yeah, I remember.
But you're gently encouraging networks in certain directions, which then help. Growth, like promote growth in certain areas and in certain ways. I guess this is more that you're specifically control or have control, even if it's that, even if it's almost no control over one single thing. So I don't even know, like, what is it a collection of scenes? Like,
I think a collection of seasons, Alex.
A collection of seeds.
Maybe it's you've got to survive for as many as you can. Or maybe it's just it's over or after.
Maybe
five,
a lumberjack comes along
you know,
and cuts you down, apparently.
And it's a wonderful metaphor for how fleeting life can be.
Mm. If you really look into the subtext, it's a harsh criticism on the Tory government.
And then a lumberjack comes and cuts us down.
Will you last for 55 days or will you last for longer? Did anyone vote you in? Tree.
Tree.
What are you doing here, Tree?
No one wants you here. But God, will you fight for what is just wrong?
I almost imagine. So my head immediately went to deck building, but I discarded that.
We've done it too much.
So for this tree-based VR game, you immediately went for deck building.
Because I'm thinking
Lay
like,
on me.
Because my thought process was, how can you? You have no direct control over this thing. So is it not a tower defense? Because you're not maybe super, super mega chill.
Say cards again.
Tower defense.
Yeah.
Cards.
He's spreading his seed.
I spread my seed.
But I thought, okay, maybe not cars, but maybe that's too complicated, but maybe the gameplay shouldn't be that. Maybe it should be kind of simple. What if you just simply had like you were presented at different stages of this tree's life with a couple of choices. Maybe it's literally fork in the road choices, whether you want to
branch.
Branching was right there.
It was right
I said forks in the road.
Imagine this forking narrative.
Some kind of like wooden forks, like woody forks.
Yeah.
The other ones where you eat your lunch, but all you could taste is wood. Those ones.
Does that happen often to you?
Yeah, with those horrible wooden forks that you get.
Oh, it's damn long COVID. Everything tastes like wood.
But like okay, it's something where you're basically, you just have to kind of decide the fate of the tree and you're just deciding like, I don't even know what options you have. Like, do you want to grow? Do you want to put more energy into growth or do you want to put more energy into building up your bark?
What tough Sophie's Choice things do trees have to go through in their day-to-day life or generational life? Alex, you're a five-year-old tree. Get in the mindset of a five-year-old tree. Someone's come along and he wants to build a brick wall next to you. Solve that, tree.
You know what? I have a solution for that. I feel like James has wanted to say something for a while. I'm gonna hold it. There's a cliffhanger okay. And I'm gonna come back to it.
I don't wanna, I might change direction too much. I'm just like, look, in my head, no cards, nothing like that. Super chill game.
Fuck off.
And there's a bunch of little tree spirits. And it's just your job to make a nice little home for them. You grow over time, you have seasons, but maybe you've got to like, you can like part your leaves and make a little nest for some tree spirits, or they might give you hints as to what they want. Like, oh, do they need more shade? So you make a shady bit. They need sunlight, whatever, or they are running away from some wild animals. So you like swat away some like bees or some shit. I don't know, but it needs to be super chill. The way that that was such a zen introduction. I'm totally in that mood.
You're right.
You can also just chilling. Fling your acorns to create new trees for them to be like, we want to, you know, there's too many things on this tree. We need to expand. And you're like, fling. And then
so
another tree grows.
Can a friend join you and they are a tree?
The trees.
Just a bunch of trees hanging out.
So at some point you turn away from your little thriving tree community and just look over and there's someone also in VR dressed as a tree just waving their branches at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That sounds delightful.
All right.
Does this have to be in VR?
Does anything.
Some things.
I can think of one thing.
Okay, maybe it is fine. I don't know. I'm just trying to feel like what is it about the experience that is important to virtual reality? Are you literally standing?
The sense of presence, Alex.
Yeah. You can't move too far in VR. So
you're planted.
You are planted on the spot. It's a seated experience.
Mm. Yeah.
Or standing, but you have to not move your feet at all because otherwise your tree falls over.
You become uprooted.
Something really interesting.
Sorry, I wanted to hear Alex's wall versus tree.
Yeah, no, I need
strategy.
Everyone's waiting for it.
Is it just fall on the wall?
No, all you have to do. It's the easiest strategy. It's almost no strategy. Just wait it out. Tree beats wall every time. You put a wall next to a tree. There's a tree in my back garden that we left for, we didn't prune for 2.5 years.
He's in the game.
Have started to come out from underneath the brickwork in the garden. Yeah. It is fucking insane. They're so powerful.
Yeah. The entire bottom half of the wall is gone. The top half is supported entirely by roots. It's crazy. But okay, so your choice was to wait it out. Mm-hmm. Now you're a 10-year-old tree.
Yeah.
A bigger tree has come along and is taking all the sun. What do you do? What's your choice? Please don't tell me that your choice is to wait it out still, because I feel like wait it out is probably going to solve most of a tree's life problems.
I don't know if waiting out would solve that problem, right? You can't, there's nothing, like, well, you can't fight the tree.
Yeah. I would say that waiting out would actually solve that problem. Because if you look at the Amazon rainforest, the canopy, if you look up, they have individual lines where trees will not, basically they grow and stop based on the surrounding trees also needing sunlight. It's very interesting. But that would happen.
Okay.
Always have
thrilling.
To be a fight,
wait
doesn't it?
It
could just
basically
be
this
nice.
Game. It's more of a visual, like immersive movie, like that. What was that one they did with the little mouse? No, the little hedgehog. When Oculus first came out,
they did. Yeah, what was his name?
I don't know.
Little Billy Hedgehog.
Phil the Hedgehog.
Little Billy Butcher.
Harry Hedgehog.
Yeah, I remember that.
But yes, I feel like it's more like that where you're just watching this kind of... Maybe there are some...
You can't just watch. It has to be a game.
Well, apparently, you're a fucking tree and Way to Out seems to be the only solution to everything right now.
The only mechanics Alex has come up with is just sit and watch. And then all of a sudden now, like, no, it can't just be that.
This is really sad.
Let me guess, your third option is sit and watch.
I'm like super excited about is just the idea that the tree is growing. Like, because in VR, obviously, motion sickness is a big issue and moving fast and stuff. But this idea that you're slowly over time just raising up into the sky, I don't know, there's something quite cool about that.
That's
probably
actually
the thing
pretty
no
cool.
one else would care about, but I'm quite into it.
Yeah, over time, if you suddenly realize, like, if it's incremental, like, slow enough that you suddenly realize,
just wait
oh,
it out.
Hang on, look, I can.
Yeah, you just wait it out. Early on in the story, there's this huge, like, a load of characters, the human characters that are living in the house. They're talking about, like, I'm sure something's in the gutter, but you can't see it yet until you grow up. And then you see it. Yep. Dead bird.
The beauty of nature.
That's the twist at the end of the game.
Okay.
What's
just,
in the gutter?
Right. I've just come up with an idea to link it together. Okay. You are a tree.
No, you fucking haven't.
Okay.
You killed the bird.
Right, no, honestly, right. Okay. So this is just narrative, okay? This is no gameplay. This is like that Blink game. Remember the
Tell
game where
story.
All you have to do is
Tell
okay.
me a story.
Before
you
your
are
eyes.
The sapling. You so the game begins exactly how Jethro describes, yeah?
I feel
you
like I should
sunlight,
just play the pitch again, but okay.
Right. But when you see the sunlight, there's also two faces. It's a happy newlywed couple. They've planted you in their garden for the new house, okay? You are you're an oak tree. And then your life then plays out over the next two generations of this family while they're going through their trials and tribulations in the kitchen or in the garden. Lots of really important things in their lives have to happen in the garden.
Oh, until you get to see their bedroom, you're like, oh yeah, now.
But maybe there is they have a 5-year-old kid who throws a little rabbit up there. And then you get to see their entire life. That 5-year-old
rabbit?
Kid ends up like a babe, like as in like a toy rabbit, right?
Oh,
so that 5-year-old, when they're 5 years old, they cry, they run into their parents console them. You then see the entire life of this elderly woman, like this young kid. She grows up, has her own children, becomes a grandmother, and then you see her grandchildren then go to bury her in the garden. But by this time, you're tall enough to see
in the garden.
That's where all the families get buried. It's an old family.
Oh, and he goes to clean the gutters
the
out and finds the rabbit.
No, yep, the tree is tall enough to see the little rabbit that was there that she threw up when she was 5 years old.
Right.
And no one in two generations of this family went onto the roof.
Well, Tom, how many times have you been on your roof of your house?
I think if it was in my gutter or something, or I could see it, I'd be like, there's a fucking toy rabbit up there. I need to get that down. That's unsightly.
That's the problem, right?
Okay. All right. Fine. What a beautiful ending to a
beautiful
potentially
story.
Very what? Morbid story.
Yeah, what a wonderful end. Let's bury Nan in the garden.
Yeah.
It could be a happy ending, you know? They've all gone through it. They've had a lovely time. But you grow up with this family, generations of them.
That links to the tree spirits, right? Maybe grandma becomes a little ghost on a tree branch somewhere.
Just, no,
that's where the fucking rabbit was. All these guys.
You can do that, right? You can mingle your ashes with seeds and shit, and then become a tree or some bullshit, right?
Seed and shit.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
That's something you can do. I'm pretty sure that's the description on the website. The website where you book this service. I don't fucking know. Either way, there is this thing where you can quote unquote become a tree. Maybe
it's called ashes to ashes.
You're
because they mix you with an ash
you
tree.
You are the soul of the previous generation inside an ash tree, the ash of granddad, who's called Ash, in an ash tree, watching over the Ash
Pallet
family.
Town.
And you start in Pallet Town. You can watch Professor Oak bang your mum.
That's
that happens
how it
in
ends.
Pokemon.
That's
I'm pretty sweet. Sure that happens.
I thought it was
Mr. Mime.
Mr. Mime.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
He's got those hands.
And yeah, so you are a tree that is infested with the spirit of a previous generation, and you have to train your family to go out into dungeons. You are the tree daddy, the tree of wisdom.
Perfect. Yeah. No, that's fucking great. Jethro, yeah. Thank you for giving us this beautiful experience.
As long as we're not butchering the
name. Look, he has another one, right? I feel like we should.
Yeah, you've left a whole hold for like 15 minutes.
Sorry.
Sorry, Jethro.
He's heard all of this and has been. I've just heard screaming down the end of the phone.
No, that's just more of his sound effects. He's playing a board. He's trying to find all the new ones.
Yeah, I will say thank you for all the production excellence that went into that pitch as well. You've really raised the bar, and it's up to everyone else to catch up.
The production value on that is higher than this podcast.
It is, yeah, it's true. Alex really just shits these out.
I have no defense for that.
No, you're garbage. Anyway, do you want to hear the next one? There was another pitch at the end of this. I had to cut him off. It was some kind of shooter.
He's been holding his breath this whole time.
He's been holding his breath. Let's go, gamers.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
For the second idea, think of weird tanks, but less wanky, and as an FPS. Except, it's not first-person shooter, but a fourth-person shooter. As in first is me, second is you, third is someone behind me, and fourth is my teammate. How this works is that the matches are 2v2, and what you see is what your teammate is aiming at, and vice versa. Moving works like tank controls usually work, but again, you cannot see your own movement, unless your teammate is watching you. I think aiming should be restricted to only horizontal movement, otherwise aiming would be way too hard, and movement in general needs to be quite slow so you have time to execute your teammate's instructions. As you need to communicate with your partner, this game has to have good means to communicate. VoIP and quick chat therefore are a must. This is the base idea, which can be expanded with power-ups, different game modes, different number of players or teams, and other mechanics that I cannot come up with now. As for the name, I would call this FPTS, as in fourth-person tank shooter. Hopefully I got some conversation going. Thank you for listening. Have a good one. Kiitos ja näkemiin.
Okay.
Right back at you.
Thanks for that.
Fourth-person shooter. Fourth person.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
lay it on me. Give me the good shit.
One of them is you. One of them is just someone behind you.
You are the person behind the person imagine your eyes were in my body and
this
my eyes were
worst.
In your body.
You can literally just say you just see each other's tanks and reticules and aiming. That's literally the concept, right?
No. Imagine that your eyes are in my head and I'm walking around fully cognizant, if that's a word, but it's your eyes, your vision, and I am looking through your head and you're doing all your shit. So we need to stick together. We need to stay together so we know what we're doing. Otherwise, it'll be a nightmare.
You don't have to stay together.
Yeah, of course we do.
No.
Well, I don't know where I am.
Yeah, but I do. So that's the point, right? Is that
no,
it's
you
just
don't.
Good communication. No, I know where you are.
You
know
where
I am.
But I don't know where my body is.
No, but you're in a tank. So
you're
I'm going,
same,
Tom,
you're
you are
sat next
here.
To each other.
No, we're not sat next to each other. No, this is a situation in which, this is a real life counterpart.
Over Discord
I'm downstairs
or
in the
right?
kitchen making a tea. Alex is upstairs having a wank. I can see that because right. my eyes are so, in his body.
But, exactly. So you're on voice comms yeah. with him, and you're Alex. No, no. Right hand up, right hand no, down, you... right hand up, right hand. And he's like, no, my right hand's tight. Like, okay, left hand, move down, grab, right hand, left hand up. And Alex is going, okay, move your right hand out, grab the kettle. And you're like, okay.
Right, right.
That's what I got from that description. If it was about tanks, not about making tea and wanking.
Okay.
Tea and tanking.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
It's pretty much that, I suppose. Yeah. I
is
mean,
that
I
what
guess
it is though.
That's what it sounds I gathered like, it was.
You know, you're just a captain of a or a commander of a tank, and you're just giving orders, right? Is it just
no?
It's
no.
It's keep talking, and other people explode. Right.
Yep. That's great. Yeah, that is what it is. No, it's like your eyes are the other in another person's head, and he's having a wank. I'm really struggling to explain this beyond the pitch. Like,
I think I explained it, didn't I?
You did. I don't think James is getting it.
Right, James. Say we're both playing a single player game. Right, we're both playing it together. Right, playing it. Separate computers. But the problem is I can see your screen and you can see my screen. So my controls affect what you see and your controls affect what I see. So
like
we are talking back and
game,
forth
you're
to tell each other what we're looking at, what we should be aiming at, what direction to turn and where to, I don't know, come at the end of it because
that can't is, see. I'm with you. I'm with you. Right? But you're all in the same tank.
Separate tanks.
Separate tanks.
Separate tanks and separate wanks.
Let's say there's no tanks. Let's just say it's a four-person shooter. It's a tank shooter. It will get to that, but we really need to
we're peeling it back.
Yeah, we'll peel it back until eventually he's on the same page.
But like you're a team of, I don't know, between two and X number of tanks against another two to X number of tanks. But you're all controlling each other.
Okay. I've got a way to explain it. Yeah. James, you are playing a game.
James,
I am standing behind you.
I'm wanking.
I'm reaching around. No.
Got it. I'm with you.
You're playing a game.
No. Yeah.
I'm standing behind you. My hands have covered your eyes, and I'm telling you what to do.
No, right?
No. I'm explaining what I would be doing in this game. But instead of me covering your eyes, in my hands, covering your eyes is my screen.
Jethro, what the fuck have you done? To this podcast?
James. You're playing GoldenEye, split screen. Someone said that you are the top screen. You're not. You're the bottom screen. But they've blocked it off. You can't see the bottom screen. So you're playing the top screen, but that's not actually you. Someone else is playing the bottom screen. That's not actually them. It's the other way around. What
so you're
fuck?
Just talking to each other to tell each other where to aim and shoot.
Yeah.
What do you mean, You say that like you've been on the same page the entire time.
Guys, you've just...
This game already exists as a first-person shooter, though, doesn't it? What's that one where you've got to look at other people's screens in order to screen shoot where they are?
No, on that one, everyone is invisible, and you have to look at their screens
to find out who you are.
To find out, the entire point of the game is looking at other people's screens because everyone is invisible. Not quite
but
the
same.
But
it's like that.
Well,
but you're in the kitchen and someone's upstairs. No, anyway. I get it. But I'm just like, was it more interesting in my head when you're all in the same tank and you all
well,
just
you
had different things to do? You had
that's
different
just
instruments.
Track driving.
Well, yeah. But how does it work if you're all in different tanks? That seems a bit more.
Well, I can see what you're doing. So I'm going, okay, James, so there is an enemy tank 40 degrees to your right. And I was like, but there's a building 10 meters in front of you. I'm like, stop now, rotate, and then you know, hold W. Okay, stop. And you're saying things back to me, and we're both trying to react to what each other's saying whilst also trying to tell each other what to do. So
it requires constant communication.
It will require a system where we're like, okay, you tell me an order, I tell you an order. But does that then give you a disadvantage because you're going to be stationary for a time whilst you're doing back and forth, but you can't talk over each other?
God, you could never do more than two players, could you, really, in a team? Well, you could, but it would be chaos, right?
Which maybe would be
quite funny.
Unless everyone is, like, linked in squads or whatever, or duos.
You could like
there's 14 players that are part of the blue team, 16 even, but they're split into groups of
everyone
two.
Everyone just suddenly goes like,
you link up with people.
Yeah,
you can have a buddy.
Yeah, because if you're looking through, if the don't worry, carry someone else talk.
I guess you could actually. There's some fun you could have there if it wasn't just tanks, but you know, one mechanic would be like a power up that if you shot another player, they jumped to someone else in their team. This is assuming if there was like, I don't know, 16 versus 16, you could suddenly then be like, shit, I've swapped tank and I need to figure out who is the tank that I'm now seeing. And then be like,
oh, that would be chaos.
Because you'll be like, okay, everyone stop. Everyone rotate right. And then whoever's moves, you're like, well, no, that wouldn't work. You have to
everyone at the same time.
Oh, no, I'm everyone.
Yeah. That's what made me think of that other first person game. Because you'd be looking at essentially like, oh, you're in the red area. Okay, I know which tank you are. Go shoot that tank over there. I guess in as simple as that, but
yeah, I think one problem that you can have with the game is just aiming. Like it's difficult. Say you're looking at someone from the right hand side, you know, they need to shoot ahead of them. You're not really looking at them. And so the aim would be hard to gauge. I think every tank should have laser sight basically, or, you know, laser.
You'd have
lines coming from them.
Degrees, right? He did say only horizontal movement. So
no, I know, but I think
headings are for, right? You'd be like rotate 40 degrees.
But do you know what heading, like
north is always north, no matter what rotation you're in.
Ah, Jesus.
Do you think it's like the one constant?
I just thought if that was like a laser sight, laser line coming from each tank, then you could just say like, right, yeah, you're on top of it. Rather than, okay, you look like you're about 5 degrees off north.
Yeah,
you need to be about 45 degrees back that way.
It sounds like
I think that's the whole. That's the whole trial and error aspect of it, right?
You're going to waste the other tanks are moving around, though.
Yeah, but they're doing the same thing.
I guess they're equally shit, right? I suppose.
Yeah. True.
It sounds like a mess. I feel like you'd have to learn the oral equivalent of like circular breathing, where you can talk and listen at the same time. Just kind of have like two conversations going on.
Yeah.
You'd have to have code names or something, wouldn't you? Be like Bravo, turn left, and so you could know who's who.
Tom, yeah, I just use my name.
It depends on how many Toms there are.
Yeah, no, not
Tom.
Many.
Like 15 Toms in the group just suddenly turn.
If there's anyone else called Tom, I have a legal case against them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Trademarked.
Earlier in the show.
What if, let's bring it back. Instead of figuring out how to control yourself, but you're looking at yourself from a completely different angle, what if the teams of two, one is the navigator in the periscope or whatever it is, and the driver doesn't have this vision. He's like down in the bowels of this tank.
Yeah.
There's no windows and shit. Go on, Chris. What is it?
One, we brought this up, I think, a couple of episodes ago.
Right.
But two, because I made this in a game jam. It was about submarines. And also, I think this is a game called U-Boat, but my submarine one was set in space, where it was been 48 hours. And what you shouldn't do when you're doing a game jam is make an online multiplayer game. So what we did is make an online multiplayer game.
Why did you do
where
that?
One of you has a tablet which has the radar on it and little icons and a key. And then you would say, rotate 40 degrees, fire shield, and it would fire. You'd fire a shield out because there'd be an incoming missile. Or you'd be like, rotate 30 or rotate to 270, fire two missiles. That's exactly
but it's,
what
it's like
make.
That. I think but
we
you swapped
spoke about
eyes.
That.
The problem with games like that is that there's always going to be someone who gets the rubbish job. You know, I don't want to be just aiming at a nothing screen, right? I want to have something going on that's more interesting.
Well, you could be running, like, there could be other little mini games where you're running repairs and stuff.
Yeah.
True. To be honest, the simple thing of just like you've swapped eyes is kind of like interesting to me now.
Can you imagine trying to just complete just basic repairs of a tank, but you've swapped eyes with someone?
You've just swapped
eyes. All of this would just be an absolute fucking, it would just all be a complete fucking mess. it would, which I think is what he's saying, right?
Oh God! Imagine if this was in VR. And oh, like
not everything has to be in VR.
Ill, just thinking about it.
Well, no, I'm just thinking about, because I was just about to say, like, if we went with the periscope tank driver thing, for example, and it
I
was
also
in
made
VR,
this in VR, by the way.
Fuck me. then, but you'd swapped eyes, like they jerk their head off to the side, and you weren't expecting it.
Oh God!
Fuck me. Oh God, that makes
me
feel
sick
just
you
thinking
to something
about
called
it.
Nausea.
This should definitely, this should definitely be in VR.
If I was the other player, I would just be doing like banging my head.
one of the best practices in VR is don't move the person's head unless they have done that movement. And I think that's worse, like during like a cutscene or something. But someone else's head, like you see this a lot in VR footage, which is there's humans inherently can't be still. We have tiny micro movements, but in like VR, you see that it's in trailers all the time, and it annoyed me when Sony did it for the Horizon Call of the Mat trailer. It's just shaky. This is why we put smoothing in ours.
Amateurs.
I know. Starting in Australia, smooth AF.
Yeah.
But that itself would just make you probably throw up. Mm. Because it's your micro movements.
You would get people not just like throwing their head around, you would get people taking off their headset and just chucking it into the air and spinning it. It would just be like violently nauseating. But I kind of like the insanity of that. It would just be like putting on a...
It just can't be VR. It would be cool if it was, but
you could do it VR. You could just be, it's not you've swapped eyes. It's like you're a camera on the tank, right? So you're like the periscope. You have that view. You can rotate round and look around.
But I feel like the swapping eyes is core to what Jethro's talking about.
It's the same.
Right?
It's the same thing, though, isn't it? It's in tank land. It's the same thing. You're the controller of the of looking around.
What if
around.
We bring it back even further? Mm-hmm. And
you're the player behind the player behind the player.
You are. In a tank, driving it. When you're driving it, you can't see anything. So you have to get up and go into the periscope thing to look around, then go back down to be able to fire it, then go back up again. and there's a lot of delay in between all of your actions.
Designed a really one-man shit tank.
Yeah, it's a very inefficient tank.
Oh, one-man tank is kind of interesting. No, that's kind of interesting though, isn't it?
I mean,
you try to do all the things.
I know that we are, or I at least, like the one thing with this pitch is fourth person and trying to make something around the fourth person of watching other people.
But you're not just watching other people. You're controlling your own stuff.
Yeah.
So you are. It's not
from another person's perspective.
I think, look, either Jethro, we're idiots, or you've dropped the ball here. So.
I think it's going to, I'm just going to say it's going to, it'll be the former of that statement, because immediately our example we used was, what if I was wanking downstairs?
No, upstairs, and I'm upstairs, downstairs in the kitchen.
Sorry.
Making a tea.
What if Alex was wanking in the kitchen?
What if he was wanking into my tea?
And you were boiling a kettle, into some tissue?
I will say this is Jethro's fault for mentioning seeds in the first pitch. I think we can't be held responsible.
He's careful.
Yeah, you accidentally incepted seeds into us.
Fucking hell!
What? One of the players runs over a tree, and then you realise it's the tree from the first game.
Yeah.
All right.
Look, just wait it out. You'll be fine.
I don't know where we can go with a fourth person shooter where everyone has swapped eyes. That is maybe in VR. Yeah?
No. Okay, before the VR thing, I think we got...
All right, Chris, what is this game?
Yeah, you do here.
Right. So I can see... I'm going to use me and James as the example, just so we're all on the same screen.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm playing with my keyboard and mouse. I have horizontal movement with my mouse, and I have directional movement with WASD for my tank.
Sure.
James is playing with his keyboard. But
and mouse.
If James presses W on his keyboard, I see his tank move on my screen.
Yeah, now we get the concept, yeah.
This is literally the whole point of this section of the podcast where I explain the concept.
Do it with some gusto.
Well, it sounds like no one fucking gets it. So I'm just I'm explaining it in a way
But we get the concept of seeing your own actions on another person's screen and seeing someone else's actions on your screen.
Okay, it's a 2v2 death match. You're in a small village in France in World War II, right?
Great.
You're trying to navigate the areas. You were trying to destroy the other two tanks who are also seeing each other's screens. It's all about communication. James, you need to turn this much. You need to shoot here. And whilst he's also saying that to me, so it's all about figuring out a way to communicate with each other, which doesn't get confusing.
You've swapped eyes because you're the product of Nazi experiments.
Yeah, I was going to say MK Ultra.
It's okay.
Yeah.
That's what this game can be called.
I love
MK Ultra. Old Tank.
Old Tank.
All right, MK Ultra Tank. And what was the first one? Thomas the Tree?
Growing Up.
Multiplayer Chaos.
Growing Up is actually a really nice name.
Well, Multiplayer Chaos, spelt with a K. Ultra Tank.
Yeah.
That's what MK Ultra Tank is.
What was the first one? Can anyone underline it?
Trees have
I'll
eyes.
I'll let Tom explain it so he doesn't do it in monotonous detail like I tried.
Oh, no, I'll just do it with a monotonous voice instead. So The Trees Have Eyes is a game where you are the spirit of Ash, first name and last name, in the sapling of an ash tree, watching over the Ash family who live at 100 Ash Road, the Ash Village, Ashtown, Ash-ash-a.
Wow.
I don't know what just happened.
I think you dribbled when you said that.
You open your eyes, the mud parts, and there's a couple looking at you. Wow, can't wait to see where granddad goes, says one of them. The other one says, I love you so much, husband. There's a lot of like poorly ham-fisted context shoved into the
real
game.
Real bad exposition. Yeah,
like, I love you so much, my husband, Rick. I love you too, Emily, my wife. Where's
they should all
our
be
daughter?
Named after trees.
Where's our daughter, Sebastian?
That famous tree.
And as you slowly rise up,
where's our dog? Bark.
And as you slowly grow up, your vision expands and expands and expands as you watch the family go through their life, their troubles, their tribulations, their victories and successes. Ooh, they got new decking in level 4. And
I knew that decking before he was. Decking. He's a good friend of mine.
And eventually the game ends with everything burning down.
Dead. And there's a lost rabbit in the gutter.
And there's a lost rabbit that slowly turns to ash. Ashes to ashes. The trees have eyes.
Nan's buried in the garden.
Oh yeah, Nan gets buried in the garden too. Why are they burying her there and not in a graveyard? What happened to Grandma?
She was there
because
her entire
she wanted
life.
To be buried by the tree.
That's what she wanted, yeah.
It's it was old her best friend. Times.
Yeah.
Before graveyards.
Yeah. Ashes to ashes, trees have eyes, or M Tank Ultra Wanksim.
MK Ultra Tank.
MK Ultra Tank.
Ultra Wanky Tanks.
If you have wanky better tanky. Ideas for either of these,
tanky
games.
Tanky.
Oh, that got me.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, have a little hanky-tanky.
Please let us know what you think of Jetro's ideas and then also what we've just done to them.
They can let us know. I know you won't think so highly of that part, but...
Where can they let us know these things, Tom?
You can let us know on Twitter at... which is pitchpleasepod without any vowels, or you can send us an email, pitchpleasepod@yogscast.com with all the vowels.
Oh, you can do that.
Jetro sent his pitch through to the email and included just a ton of beautiful scenery and sound effects and everything and really raised the bar. So
gold star.
If you think you can beat that pitch in immersion, the experience, then give it a go. Maybe I can't wait until someone hands in like an entire movie.
They've just made the game.
Just a game.
Just a game.
Just give us a game. Yeah,
send us a game. I'll happily spend an entire podcast playing a game that no one can see because of the format. Yeah.
Wow. No, honestly, like, we have genuinely really enjoyed receiving these things from you. Just like as tweets, emails, voice, whatever you want to do. Just getting new ideas
Raven.
In is Raven, yeah, pigeon, shark,
pissing.
That was a weird one.
Yeah.
Piss in the snow.
Yeah, however you want to deliver them, please continue to do so. Thank you, Jetro. Thank you, everyone who's actually contributed so far. We really appreciate it because
I didn't really appreciate the time someone butchered a person and left them on my bed.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
Used their blood to spell out a pitch across the entire back wall of my bedroom.
The thing is, it was a
but
good idea
the game was
as well.
Great.
But,
it was a great idea.
We just couldn't.
But we couldn't. Obviously,
Daddy.
Can't use the picture because
Dungeon Daddy.
Someone's dying.
And they said Tom, and that's trademark. So you know.
Yeah, exactly. Use my name, and that's yeah.
So yeah, please feel free to contact us. Send us your ideas in any way you
He's
see
still
fit
at large.
That doesn't involve murder.
Yeah, please.
And thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next time. Until then,
what's in the box?
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Do you want to come and wank me off while I make you a cup of tea?
I don't think that's how that was working, but you just sort of
just gave me an idea.